Well, as we walk into a brand new year, so many wonderful opportunities that await each and every one of our lives, I want to ask you a question. What is there in your life that you wish you could forget? A brand new year has brought on a different calendar. You had to throw the other one away or put it safely away. But just turning the calendar and coming into a brand new year doesn't mean everything is all right. You know, there are a lot of people who will walk out of one year into another, and they just carry into that new year the same baggage and the same stuff that they've lived with last year, the year before, and for many, many, many years. The Father that created every one of us has a design and a desire for your life. It is a life of absolute freedom. It's a life of abundance. It is a life packed with opportunity to bring glory to Him, fulfillment, tranquility, and joy beyond your wildest dream and imagination. But the sad reality about it is there are so many individuals that will not walk into a brand new year with freedom. They'll walk into the brand new year with all sorts of stuff and junk that has been there for a long time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians this morning. I want to look at only two verses. I want to deal with this morning facing the future with freedom. Because the reality about it is every one of us go through those times in our lives where we just wish we could erase some things of the past. Maybe there are things out of 2010 and 2009 and on before you wish you could erase. Maybe something has already happened so far this year that you would to God you could erase it. Well, there was no one probably that faced hurts outside of Jesus Christ in the New Testament like the Apostle Paul. When Paul came to faith in Jesus Christ, there was a lot of things that took place in his life, but there was something that he could never forget, even though he was saved, an event in his life that probably would plague him till the day he would go home and be with the Lord. And it was that event in which he stood and held the cloak of Stephen. And Stephen was dying and being stoned to death. There was a man that stood beside Stephen. His name was Saul in that day and time. And Saul was later, his name was Paul. He was redeemed by the grace of God. But still yet, there were things in his life probably that he struggled with. And whenever he's writing to this precious body of Christ in Philippi, he says some wonderful words that going into a brand new year, every one of us need to hold to. In Philippians chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, I want you to listen to what Paul says in just these two verses. He says, brethren, he's talking to both the men and the women, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He comes to the end, almost to the end of his letter in writing to them, and he, in essence, says, I want you to understand the way that I can live my life in peace and joy and tranquility, and it's literally this, learning to forget the things of the past. Really and truly, the Lord knows everything about every one of us, and if we would be open and honest and transparent before the Lord, only the Father would know what really is deep inside of each and every one of our souls this morning as we walk into a new year. Yes, we've already had New Year's Day, and you're looking at this year, and in your heart of hearts, you're saying, this really is not that different of a year, and life continues to be pretty much the way it was as it was last year. Well, I want you to follow along in your outline because it is so imperative that you understand that the Father has nothing for your life but His best. There is nothing what the Father has for you that you can even begin to think or compare that is beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. But the truth about it is if we're going to enjoy the future, we need to face some things about the past. And we need to face those things very realistically and very honestly. I can tell you out of my own heart and out of my own life, there was a day and time in my own life in which is as though everything came together as a tremendous ball, so to speak, and there was no going forward, there was no joy, there was not going to be any more tranquility until I did what the Father told me about some events out of my own past, out of my own life, out of the events that have taken place. And because it was probably the second most memorable day or third most memorable day of my life, I'll never forget it. I was already saved. I was already preaching the gospel. But it was a day in which the Lord set me free from some things in the past. And the wonder of God is this. You'll never comprehend how much He loves you. It will take you an eternity to understand how much the Father is in love with you. But the problem is, in our end, is we somehow, for some reason, will not let some of the things go in the past. We feel like we still deserve to live in that bondage sometimes. So I want you to follow along with me because there is so much to cover in this morning's message. I may not even get through, but we'll trust the Spirit of God to lead us. If you and I are going to walk in the Spirit in the way in which the Father wants, there's one thing that is so significant. I want you to notice what Paul said in the first thing in your outline. You need to face the fact that Christ has already forgiven you. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The God that saved you, if you're a child of God, and even if you're not a child of God, Christ has already forgiven you. Now, you know, seems like it took me a long time to get this truth in my own heart, but do you understand that Christ has already forgiven you from the day you were born to the day you die? All of your sins have already been forgiven. Just to sort of make it a little bit interactive, so just to maybe help you understand, I'm going to ask you, those of you that be willing to just say it with me. I have been forgiven by Christ. Say it with me. I have been forgiven by Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you how you feel because I want you to watch this message as it progresses by the Spirit of God, but it is important that you understand that all of your sins have already been forgiven at the cross. Listen, His forgiveness is not based on how you feel. Sometimes somebody will say, well, you know, I just don't feel forgiven. I just don't feel like God has forgiven me. I don't feel like it. Listen, it is not an issue of forgiveness. You may not have much in your bank account right now because of the Christmas season, but imagine if you called in the morning and you found out somebody had made a $2,000 deposit to your account. Do you notice how your emotions would change very quickly? It is amazing how quickly our emotions change because of a good event in our life or because of a bad event in our life. You see, the thing about it is we're emotional beings. Your forgiveness has never been based on how you feel. And you see what Paul said, he says, I've had to face the fact that I am forgiven. Your debt has already been canceled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if He's canceled your debt of sin, why are you still beating yourself up? One of the things the Lord kept bringing by my mind and my heart is, Benny, since I've forgiven you, why are you beating yourself up? And nobody do it but me. Nobody lives on the inside of me but me, and nobody lives on the inside of you but you. And you're still beating yourself up over something that Christ has already died for. And you see, the thing about it is, it's not based on the size of the sin. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know what? I've just really committed a horrible, grievous sin. It doesn't matter the size of the sin. Listen, you look in Scripture, and, you know, Paul was a part of a plan to murder Stephen. And you look in Scripture, and God forgave Moses of murder. God forgave David of murder and adultery. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think you still need to live in bondage? There is one reason why we oftentimes live in bondage, and here's the simple reason. We, for some reason, don't think that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough. We won't say that out loud. But here's what the Lord brought me to understand. Benny, if you don't believe my blood is enough, then you keep living in guilt, you keep living in pain, you keep living in misery to pay for your sin. You are forgiven. It's sort of like you go to maybe the furniture store where you buy furniture, and for some reason you can't pay and you bought a whole bunch of furniture, and you've fallen on a hard time, you lost your job and all of that, and you owe them $10,000. And they know you've been faithful, and they've watched your life, and because that person has a love for you, you just say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll go to work for you or whatever. And that person just says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cancel your debt. You don't owe them the $10,000 anymore. You don't owe God a bunch of promises. You don't owe God any New Year's resolutions. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, has cleansed us of all sins. Amen? And what that means is I don't have to keep promising God a whole bunch of stuff that I know in my flesh I can't deliver. And you see, the truth about it is, it's not based on the size of the sin. Paul says, what I've done is I forget the past. Well, how do you forget the past? You can never forget the past until you forgive yourself or you forgive the person. And you see, the truth about it is, some of you have been forgiven by God, and we've all been forgiven by God, but you've not forgiven others who've hurt you. And you see, Scripture makes it very clear, be ye kind, tenderhearted, one toward another, forgiving. Who would the Father say about your life that you've not forgiven? Maybe it's your dad who literally beat the daylights out of you when you was a child. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was your husband or your wife. Maybe it was your next door neighbor. Maybe it was a bully in school. Maybe it was somebody who accused you and lied about you. The truth about it is God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ, but one of the things that we fail to do is forgive other individuals. And when you don't forgive other individuals, you just literally allow your soul to be filled with baggage and junk and junk and junk and junk. And it just gets to the point in your own life and in your own heart, you stink to yourself, you stink to others around you, and your life is, you want to just live on an island because everything and everybody hurts you. Paul says, I have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. You owe nothing to Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And when I live enjoying that, I don't make a whole bunch of promises. I was watching the news yesterday morning and how all these New Year's resolutions, and they had someone financial and they had a counselor on there, and they said, here's what you ought to do in a New Year's resolution. If you want to make a New Year's resolution, that's up to you. But you know what I found in New Year's resolutions? You make them to break them. I am going to work out for at least the first day of January. And I got out walking yesterday, and I usually do walk throughout the week, and I thought, you know, people just saw me, they think that's my New Year's resolution, and I'm going to start walking because they saw me on the side of the road. Listen, we a lot of times make them to break them, and here's why. The flesh is powerless. You ever noticed, husbands, you make your wife a promise, honey, I will not forget next year's anniversary. I will not forget your birthday, or I will not forget this special event, and you find yourself forgetting, or you find yourself not doing what you told her you promised you wouldn't do. The Bible says that you have been forgiven. Now listen to me very carefully. If the Lord Jesus has forgiven me, do you believe He wants me to enjoy that? Yes or no? Do you really believe He wants me to enjoy it? Yes or no? Yes. So if I'm to enjoy it, I'm to live that way. I'm to live not trying to pay for my sins myself, not trying to make a whole bunch of promises to the Father, but literally living and thanking the Lord God for His precious Son who has covered and cleansed and saturated all of my sin from birth to death for all of eternity. Why? Because that's who He is. And you see, Paul made it very clear. He said his forgiveness is not based on how long ago the sin occurred. And when the Lord brought to my own life sins of my past, And that's wonderful that the Father does that, because that's literally, listen, when you deal with your sins and you ask God to forgive you of events of the past and you forgive other people, you know what it's literally doing? You're asking God to take the garbage out because you can't enjoy yourself. And some of you have not enjoyed yourself for a long time. You can't enjoy being by yourself. You can't enjoy the friendship of your wife, the fellowship of your wife or your husband or your neighbor. You just simply don't enjoy that because you've not allowed yourself to enjoy forgiveness. You see, here's the reality. Paul could not take back the fact he held Stephen's cloak. Have you ever talked to somebody that's committed murder? I have. my next door neighbor, who's already dead and with the Lord now, shot and killed his father. And I've walked with him many a time, talked to him many a time. He said, Benny, you'll never know the agony that I feel. Really, it was probably self-defense, but his dad raised up, probably trying to shoot over his dad, but his dad raised up and shot him right in the head. But when he was getting ready to leave this world and go home to be with the Father, there's just a smile on his face. Because in that moment, he knew, probably better than any time before, his sin's over with. It's dealt with. The blood of Jesus Christ totally took care of it. Now listen to me very carefully. He lived never forgiving himself. He lived with the misery, the pain, the agony, all the hurt that goes with that. I've had prayer with him. I've talked to him. But here's the reality. There are things in our lives, just walking into a new year, don't erase them. Just walking into a brand new year doesn't mean they're all better. You've got somebody that's hurt you deep in the past. And you see, the truth of Scripture says, you know, if we confess our sin, you know, why in the world do we beat ourselves over the head? Here's a real simple reason. We just, for some reason, through Satan's lies, we know what the Bible says, but if you're going to enjoy the truth of Scripture, if you're going to enjoy the Word of God, you've got to treat it like it's the Word of God and trust it implicitly and forgive yourself. And so, you know, it's based on His blood. Second of all, I've got to face the fact that I'm forgiven. Now listen, some of you are going to listen to this message and you're not going to hear it. You're going to hear it and you're not going to listen. I wish I could tell you how many messages I sat under, listened, or thought I heard, and all of a sudden the light came on. You don't have to pay for your sins. The debt's paid. And so if I'm going to enjoy the forgiveness of God and live in freedom, second of all, I need to be willing to confess my sins by name. You say, now wait just a minute. If my sins have already been forgiven, why do I need to confess them? Because you do that to be obedient to God. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, finish the verse, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us. Do you know what confession means? It means bowing your head and just saying, Lord, forgive me my sins. Amen. No, it don't. You know what confession is? Well, let's use an example out of life. Men, you've blown it with your wife. You've forgotten a very memorable day. And you just go to her and you say, honey, forgive me. Okay, bye. You say, honey, I blew it. I botched it. Would you please forgive me? And a loving wife will say yes. Now listen very carefully. If you want to live free, you've got to be willing to be honest with the Father. So many times we'll say, Father, I just pray that you just forgive me of my sins. Amen. That is not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, confession, according to Scripture, is always specific. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, David is confessing before God. He's had sex with Bathsheba. She's gotten pregnant. She's told David that she is pregnant. He has tried to conspire and kill Uriah the Hittite and all of that. And you know the conspiracy that went on with that. And then in Psalm 51, his life is almost at an end. And God has brought him to the point that unless there's confession, there's going to be a perpetual life of pain and misery. Some of you are one inch away from genuine joy, and it's simply this: authentic, genuine confession of sin. Why is it that we're afraid to confess our sin? Because are we afraid to see what we want to see? Are we afraid to hear things come out of our mouth that we don't want to hear? Have you ever said in prayer, Lord God, I hate so-and-so? You say, you shouldn't say that in prayer. Why? Listen, when the garbage is there, you have to let the Lord Jesus take it out. Amen? You can't live with garbage in your soul and have a happy life. And listen, you're going to live all the days of your life in your body. The question is, do you want to live with the garbage? Do you want to live with the emotional garbage in your soul, unforgiveness towards someone, somebody that has done you wrong, done you dirty, hurt you? Listen, Paul knew what he had done before God. And he said to the Lord God, I have sinned. I've done wickedly before your sight. And you see, there is something very powerful about confession. When you get on your knees and say, Lord God, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to admit to you what I have been into, what's been involved in my life, the hate that I have, the anger I have, the malice I have. And Lord God, it is destroying my soul. Forgive me right now. It's interesting. We're moving so far away from confession, but we're getting so many more tranquilizers and stuff to deal with life. Listen, you know why we have to have so much stuff to put us to sleep? Because we don't like to stay awake and smell the odor in our souls. The Bible makes it very clear. And you see, in confession, think about this. Here is David in the Old Testament. He murdered. He may as well, he had Uriah put in the Hittite. He was going to have him killed. And you read the Psalms of David, and you listen to him, a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he knew the key to joy, tranquility, and happiness is confession. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Are you looking at me? Listen to me. Don't you think if the Father knew there was another way better than confession, he would have given it? If there was a better way other than confession, he would have given it. Amen? Why do you think he said confess? Because he knows the God of the universe, the Father who created all that is the way to joy. Oh, I just have to tell you, and I won't tell you what it was about, but when I prayed over the things that were in my life, I was on my knees praying. It's almost like the Lord interrupted me, and he did. Some of you have heard this story, but he said, I want you to review your past. And at that point of reviewing the past, I went into bedroom, I got me a piece of paper, and I started writing. And I said, Lord, I'll deal with anything and anybody that has hurt me. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I was a young pastor. I was pastoring a church. For 1 hour and 50 minutes, I wrote and I cried. I wrote and I cried. I put the sin, I put the name. I put the offense, I put the name. 5 pages later, I got on my knees. And I said, Father, I forgive so-and-so what they did. Turned to the back of that and went to the second page and the third page and the fourth page. And I said, I forgive every one of them. And I did it individually. And Father, I forgive myself for holding ill will toward them. You say, Pastor, who were they? That's for God to know. But let me tell you what happened. I walked out to the barrel, burned trash in at that day and time. I tore those pieces of paper up, put them on fire, put them in there, and I was free. It was like the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, and you know why? Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'd been preached at, you ought to forgive, you ought to forgive, you ought to forgive. No one ever taught me how to forgive. No one ever took the time, or maybe I wasn't listening, whichever one. But when I finally learned, Benny, be specific, it was literally as though God took all the garbage in my soul and just obliterated it into his heaven. And one of the things that you find out about yourself is you can just sit and enjoy being with yourself. You like being with yourself? Pretty good company sometimes. Just enjoy the presence of God. And you see, here's what David did. His confession was open. Paul's confession was open. And you see, if you're going to experience freedom in the future, if you're going to go in this, now listen, some of you may have already shut the message down. You say, here's why I'm going to shut the message down. Why? Because it's too close and personal. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You don't have to do anything with this message. But here's one thing you'll do all the days of your life. live inside your own body. Amen? And I finally got to being so miserable. You know what I'm talking about? People say something, you just almost want to go off, get moody. Sometimes my wife would say, "What's wrong with you?" I didn't know what was wrong with me until the Lord showed me. By the way, let me tell you, I could have got on a witness stand before the Lord got me on my knees, and I said, "You know, Lord, I don't have a thing against anybody." Benny, that's not the truth. I didn't know my own soul until the Father exposed me in prayer. Was he out to hurt me? Mm-mm. Would I do it again? Yes, I'd do it again. Was it enjoyable? It was one of the most difficult things, because you've got to say so-and-so that's close to you that hurt you. You've got to be willing to say church family has hurt you. You've got to be willing to maybe say a spouse, a mother, a father. But you know what? When you do that and you forgive them and you set them free, there's a joy in your soul that the devil can never take away. If I had 1 minute left to live and I knew in 1 minute I would drop dead at this pulpit, I would tell you the key, the joy to tranquility and happiness in life is forgiving everyone of what they've done and forgiving yourself. Listen, it is a joy. It's the tranquility that comes in life. And one of the things that Paul found was this, was forgiveness is essential. He says, "I forget." Paul, how can you forget? Because he knew what it was to forgive. God had brought Paul to forgive himself and to forgive others. And you see, you've got to, if you're going to enjoy freedom, you have to forgive other people. Now, somebody will say, "No, I don't have to forgive a single solitary soul if I don't want to." You're exactly right. But you'll live in misery. You'll have pain because first and foremost, you're disobeying the Father. And second of all, you're just letting the garbage build up in your life. Maybe you're saying, "I don't understand why my spouse can't get close to me or my children can't get close to me." How close do you like to get to garbage? Now listen to me very carefully. This may be very stinging, but here's the reality. You've had people who loved you that have abandoned you. Some of you have had family that have walked out on your life. They walked out on you when you was just a kid, and you didn't do a single thing to deserve it. You've had a spouse to turn her back on you or his back on you. You've had a mother or father who has, in essence, to your life, just sort of said, "Go ahead, do what you want to do," or have sort of abandoned you. You know your past. And you see, here's what Paul said. "I forgive them." You know why? Unforgiveness just starts the garbage going back again. Let me ask you a question. If you got ready for church this morning, took your shower, got dressed, and you was outside maybe getting the newspaper, and somebody came along and hit a mud hole and splashed all over you, what would you do? You'd say, "How dare you? I'm already ready for church. I'm not going to take another shower. I'm not going to change clothes again. I'm going the way I am." And you come in, you got a muddy suit on, hair's all muddy. You know what you'd do? You'd walk back inside, pray for that person, hopefully, and then get ready again. Listen to me real carefully. Won't you listen? Sometimes in the very avenue of life, before this day is over, some of you will get hurt deeply by somebody. You don't wait till tomorrow or next week or next year. You forgive them in that moment. You see, here's the truth. If you're going to forgive them, now look very carefully at number three. If you're going to forgive others who've offended you, understand this. It's an act of the will. You say, "I don't feel like forgiving so-and-so. I just don't feel like forgiving." You'll never feel like forgiving anybody. You know why? Because forgiveness is never based on feelings. It's based on an act of your will. Listen, Jesus did not say on the cross, "Father, I don't feel like forgiving them." The cross was not fun. But on the cross, he canceled your sins. Now, listen very carefully. Because he's canceled your sins, if you're a child of God, he has given you the power to forgive anybody of what they've done to you. You say, "No, they've not." Yes, he has. If you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you have the power under God to forgive anyone. And so the issue is, I have to understand it's an act of my will. I never, whenever I get on my knees and forgive someone or someone hurts me, I never say this, "Father, You know, I just feel like forgiving them. No, you don't. Lord, I choose to forgive them. You say, who's hurt you? Same people that hurt you. Same ways. You're about ready to check out in the store and you need to go. You've got a legitimate reason, and somebody with a buggy jumps right in front of you like they ignore you and they don't see you. Family member that's treated you wrong. Listen, he said, you got to face the fact. You got to forgive as an act of the will. And it's a choice. Now listen very carefully. Your heart does not have to be clean to exist. You don't have to have a clean heart to exist. You see a lot of people existing. They're just living, going through the motions. But here's what you have to do. It's a choice. You say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. This is one thing the Father taught me, and I pray you hear. Let me ask you one question. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, did you deserve it? Did you deserve forgiveness? Yes or no? Say what you just said again. Say it one more time, please. When that person offends you and hurts you, it's very easy to say, and I'll never forget Darrell. He's with the Lord now. I had to admit I hate him. Did I hate him? You better believe I hated him. Why did you hate him, Pastor? He made life a living hell for me. In the first church I pastored, he'd try to find all sorts of mistakes in my preaching and all of that, and just literally made me a nervous wreck. And you see, I look back at what he did. He was not a great benefit to my pastorate. Did he deserve me forgiving him? No. But I didn't deserve Jesus forgiving me. You don't deserve forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift you give to that person, that family member, that friend, not because they deserve it, but here's what the Father knows. With every ounce of forgiveness you give away, you set your heart free, because there's only one other option, forgiveness or bitterness. And you look at some people, have you ever tried to watch some people smile? They can't even smile. They're trying to smile, but because the bitterness in their soul. But you know what? I say, Lord, irregardless of what he's done, and I'll name the offense. Sometimes it'll be in the car. I'll be going to Kevin. I thank you that you've forgiven me at the cross. I didn't deserve to be forgiven, and so-and-so don't deserve to be forgiven, but I choose right now to forgive them. I release them. They never owe me an apology. They never have to say I'm sorry. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I forgive them, set them free, and I forgive myself right now. Is the garbage gone? Oh, yes. You know why? Listen, you don't hear all those ugly, irritating mental voices in your life. How many of you have a chronic video going on in your mind? You've got a video, and it's replaying over and over and over and over, and it's replayed for years. It's replayed from the time you was a child, maybe. Maybe you was molested. Maybe you was raped. Maybe there was such abuse in your life. You say, I just can't forgive them. Listen to me very carefully. If you're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, the Bible says Christ lives on the inside of you. Amen? Who can Christ forgive? Everybody. Christ lives on the inside of you. He's given you the power to forgive anybody and everybody, and you just choose to forgive them. There'll be all sorts of satanic lies. Well, you can't forgive him for what he's done, or you can't forgive her. You just keep walking right through that, and there is freedom. And you look back, and at the very end of it, I never will believe this, or never would have believed this until it happened. The man that I told you I hated, after the Lord brought me to forgiving him, I got on my knees and I said what I felt about him, and I forgave him. I look back and I was so intrigued at what the Father brought into my soul. I felt so sorry for him. I honestly felt sorry for him, because the Lord called him to preach, and he disobeyed. His life was filled with misery, and he passed that misery on to everybody, and I just felt sorry for him. And you see, the truth about it is, If you're going to forget your past, you've got to face the fact you're forgiven. Confess your sin. Forgive others. And fourthly, forgive and release yourself. Now, I want you to hear me say this very carefully. And you notice I'm saying that, but I'm meaning it very carefully. If I ask you, and don't you raise your hand, but if I ask you, how many of you think the Father wants you to live in bondage, raise your hand. None of you would raise your hand. But so many of us are living in mental bondage, and here's why. We've not forgiven ourselves. Only God knows what you've done in your life. But here's what Paul found out. Listen to what he says. I count not myself to have apprehended or have accomplished. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting. How do you forget the past? I can't describe it. I can't even explain it. I'll just do the best I can. When you absolutely, honestly, and legitimately forgive someone else, the video is cut. The Lord God takes the garbage out, and you can remember the event or events, but here's the reality. There's no sting in them anymore. I want to see Darrell when I get to heaven. I want to see him. Is there 1 ounce of anger, upset in my soul? Not a bit. But see, here's the reality. I have forgiven myself of the hate I had in my soul. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm being transparent as best I can for your benefit. Because the truth about it is, some of you, you just can't forgive yourself, or you won't forgive yourself is a better way of saying it. You've done something in the past with somebody else. Maybe it's been sex. Maybe you can't forgive yourself of sex of the past or even the partners you've had. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you still cannot forgive yourself of the events that you've done in your past. Or it's something that you've done. Maybe it's some type of drug that you've taken or some drugs you've been involved in, and you feel like you're a constant prisoner. The real issue is forgiving yourself. And you see, one of the things that is so essential is learning to forgive yourself for freedom's sake. When you and I forgive ourselves, there's something powerful that takes place. You say, well, how in the world do you forgive yourself? Would you listen to me very carefully? I want you to listen. And I'm going to ask you to watch. Because there's a saying, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? When you forgive someone of what they've done, you say, Lord, forgive, I forgive them. Here is something that is so important to do. To bow and say a prayer like this, Father, I'm holding myself bondage of the things of the past. I know what I've done, and I've not forgiven myself. Lord Jesus, right here and right now, by the blood of Christ, I choose to forgive myself based on the shed blood of Christ. I forgive myself of and fill in the blank, and I accept your freedom in Jesus' name. And you know what happens? The very power and presence of God makes it so real to you, and your spirit bears witness that you've forgiven. You've forgiven that person, or you've forgiven yourself. You've forgiven. And you see, Paul said, I've forgiven. Forgetting the past. As we walk into a new year, let me raise a very difficult question, but it's important. Who does the Father bring in front of your mind that's preventing you from enjoying the past? See, if you don't forgive, here's the way you're going to live this year. Their name is going to always be in front of you. Their face is going to always be in front of you. What they've done is going to always hound you. And you're going to walk through, now listen, 365 days of this year like this. No wonder so many people are exhausted. No wonder so many people are tired, because that's the way they're living their life. Always beholding the offenses of others in their face. And when you forgive them, it's gone. It's completely gone. You see, Paul said this, forgetting what is behind. You say, can you forget the past? You will remember the events. If I couldn't remember the events, I couldn't have been able to tell it to you. But here's what does happen. There is a peace in your soul over the events, and you use them to help others. Am I glad that he hurt me? And won't you listen to me very carefully? Am I glad he hurt me? Yes. You say, now wait just a minute. I couldn't have learned forgiveness. Now I want you to hear me very carefully in closing. The Bible says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know what that means? God's going to bring somebody across your life who's hurt you. And he's going to call you to practice forgiveness. And if there's no forgiveness, there's no freedom. If there's no forgiveness, there's no joy. And I can tell you this, forgiveness, forgiving others, forgiving yourself, accepting the forgiveness of Christ at the cross, quit trying to pay for your sins. One of the greatest prayers that you'll ever pray, Lord, I'm not going to pay for my sins. I accept the blood as total payment. Listen, by His stripes, we're healed. Amen. You're here this morning and you don't know what His forgiveness is all about because you're not saved. You still have the cloak of guilt on your heart and on your life, and you're not enjoying the life because you're not saved. How can your life be changed? By simply admitting you're a sinner, believing Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and inviting Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to do that this morning. Why don't you come to Him? Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for desiring for us freedom. Wonderful, awesome, dynamic freedom that comes from only heaven. Father, we praise You. We worship You. We glory in Your name. And Father, pray that You would draw those whom You would to You today. Father, that person who needs to be saved, that person who needs to be right with You, that person who needs to repent. Father, Your will be done is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.